Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody knows for sure the location of the biblical Mount Sinai, although Jabal Musa in the southern Sinai Peninsula is usually considered the traditional site. It's not the tallest mountain in the area. That would be Mount Catherine. But at 7,497 feet rising from the desert floor, it is a majestic mountain. I've not been there yet, but I hope to someday. Mount Sinai is also known as Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, for it is there that the Lord God Yahweh first revealed his name when he called Moses from the burning bush. Moses was just getting started in his life at 80 years old when God told him to go and tell the Pharaoh to let the Israelites be released from slavery, so that they could go and worship Yahweh in the wilderness. I don't know if you remember that special detail of the story of the Exodus, but that was the purpose that the Lord gave, that Yahweh gave to Moses and to Pharaoh for their rescue, so that they could worship Yahweh instead of the gods of Egypt. I will be with you, Yahweh declared, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve me on this mountain. And true to God's word, just a few months later, Moses returned to Mount Sinai, this time with over 2 million Israelites rescued by God. Yahweh brought his people to Mount Sinai to establish his covenant with them. A covenant was a collection of commandments and promises that would define the relationship between God and his people. And yet what the people saw, heard, and smelled at Mount Sinai terrified them completely. Lightning flashing in a dark cloud, and a great inferno upon the mountain's peak. The smell of burning smoke and the electric ozone odor. The sound of booming thunder and quaking rocks and blasting trumpet. God was putting on a pyrotechnic show. But to what end? To show the people of Israel that God was holy and alien and completely other. And so they would do well to pay attention to what he was about to say. And what would he tell them? Well, he would reveal various ceremonial regulations governing the way in which his people would worship. He'd give instructions for the construction of the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. But above all, he gave them the Ten Commandments. The people had sworn to obey all that God commanded them, but they couldn't even keep the first commandment. Because while Moses was up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, eating and drinking nothing, meanwhile down below they were having a party, and they're getting drunk and dancing around a golden calf that they had made for themselves, engaging in all kinds of perverse forms of worship. And when Moses came down the mountain, his face burned with anger. And it glowed with the glory of Yahweh who had appeared to him. Moses unleashed the fury of God's wrath upon the people, and they cowered from the prophet who rescued them because they had turned against the God who sent him. Before it began, the covenant was already broken, evident by the broken pieces of the tablets when Moses smashed them on the ground in his righteous anger. And here's another detail that we often don't learn in Sunday school, but do you know what Moses did with the golden calf then? He melted it down and then grinded it down into powder and then scattered the powder on the water and made the people drink it. He made them drink the gold dust of their idolatry. This is the terror of God in all his glory and righteousness. Sinful man cannot bear the sight of God. In fact, when Moses later begged for Yahweh to reveal his glory to him, the Lord said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." The Israelites couldn't even look at Moses' shining face unless he first covered it with a veil. How much more terrible is the glory of God if this is the glory of his prophets? And so God told Moses that he would hide him in the cleft of a rock and reveal only his backside as he passed him by. And instead of proclaiming his glory, God proclaimed his mercy and said, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Do you know that the verse I just read, Exodus 34, verse 6, is the most quoted verse of the Old Testament by the Old Testament? Now, normally we think about Old Testament quotations in the New Testament, right? You know, we think about Jesus quoting the Psalms or Paul quoting Isaiah or things like that. But the Old Testament also quotes itself. And this verse, Exodus 34, verse 6, in whole or in half, shows up more places in the Old Testament than any other verse. The Lord, a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It's in the Psalms, it's in the prophets, it's in the Torah. It is the core message of the Old Testament scriptures. That even though God shows up with fire and smoke, he is still gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, and showing love and mercy to 1,000 generations of those who fear him. Earlier, God had threatened to break out against Israel and kill all of them because of the golden calf. He was going to start over with Moses as kind of a new Abraham, and Moses would be the new father of a new chosen people. But Moses declined. Really? Now maybe we understand the verse in Numbers that says that Moses was the most humble man in all the earth. We think of him as strong and mighty and therefore proud. He was strong, he was mighty, but he was meek. And he declined the Lord's offer. And in his great mercy, God relented and forgave Israel because Moses interceded for them. The terrible discovery on Mount Sinai was that God cut a covenant with his people that they could not keep, and neither can we. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and none of us keeps his commandments perfectly. We are all disobedient idol worshipers. Our hearts are idol factories, not I-D-L-E like lazy, but I-D-O-L. Our hearts are always finding something other than God to worship. And what we deserve for that is for all of our gods to be melted and ground down and thrown on the water and us made to drink it, doomed to death and damnation. The letter of the law kills sinners because we are unclean, unholy, unprepared to stand in the presence of a holy God. But the spirit of the law is God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And in the flesh of Jesus, we finally see God face to face and can live to tell about it. We can finally see God's face and not just his backside. The Apostle John writes, "From his fullness we have received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Jesus wears no veil other than our own flesh. He is God with us, Emmanuel. God with skin on. God with glory and God with grace and mercy, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And Jesus has made God's glory known to us, not in trumpet blasts, not in thick darkness, not in pyrotechnics, but through his blood shed on the cross and his plaintive cry, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Moses interceded for Israel. Moses begged God not to kill them, not to start over with him. They still died in the desert. That generation did not enter the promised land. Not even Moses. The only one from that generation that entered the promised land was Joshua. And so the author of Hebrews tells us to strive to enter his rest. And that only comes through Jesus when he interceded for us on Mount Calvary. God didn't throw all of us on the fire and start over with Jesus. He gave Jesus as our substitute. And when Jesus prayed for us, when Jesus interceded for us, when we deserved to be destroyed, instead God relented and forgave us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, should not be damned and doomed to destruction, but should have eternal life. We don't have to die in the desert. We don't have to gulp down the guilt of our golden gods. Christ died to forgive you fully and freely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.